Have you ever wondered what the research says about teletherapy versus traditional therapy? This is the fourth episode in the Teletherapy podcast series, and today we're joined by Leanne from Expressible. Leanne is an SLP and founder of the telepractice company that provides services to families at an affordable rate.
You're listening to the Speechy Side Up podcast. This podcast will cover the flip side of traditional speech and language therapy, so you get inspired and learn from experts in the field. Here is your host, author, AAC specialist, and matcha tea lover, Vanita Litvak. She and her guests are serving up some informative and fun topics in Speechy Side Up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Speechy Side Up podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. This podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment. You can also follow along on Instagram at Speechy Side Up. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Today, I'm joined by SLP and founder of Expressible, Leanne. Expressible is a teletherapy provider committed to making speech therapy more accessible and affordable for children and adults. By providing therapy online, they're able to cut out a lot of the expenses associated with running a traditional practice, allowing them to pass these cost savings down to their clients while offering their SLPs a great wage with all the convenience and flexibility that comes with remote therapy. Welcome, Leanne.
Hi, Vanita. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Before we get started, let's paint a picture for our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do today, and how you got there?
I'd love to. So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. I did my undergrad in speech at the George Washington University, and then I went straight into my master's at Northwestern. I've predominantly worked in pediatrics in a couple different settings, outpatient clinics. I've done contract work, completing assessments and IEP meetings for schools. I've done early intervention and home health. I founded Expressible with my husband, Nick, and two other colleagues, all of whom have experience in the healthcare tech industry in one way or another. And so today I'm the president and chief clinical officer of Expressible, in addition to continuing with the caseload for us, conducting the telepractice sessions for both adults and kids. My husband's really a big advocate of the principle of, you know, the only reason that you haven't done something yet and someone else has is just that they've done it. So, you know, founding our own practice with big ambitions was just a matter of kind of knuckling down to do it and putting together the right team.
That's awesome. And I'm so happy that you guys were able to do that together. So how long has Expressible been around?
We're a relatively new company. We got started last year, but we've really had a lot of success and kind of, you could say that we were putting out an experiment in the beginning to see if it was something that was viable. And we've really found that it is, and that there's a gap that needed to be filled. And so we're really working to try to fill it.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about what Expressible is and why you started it.
So we are, like you said, we're an online speech therapy provider or telepractice, and we provide for pediatrics and adults. And we go currently just direct to clients. So we're private pay, and there's really a reason for that and kind of part of our experiment that we set out from the get-go. I was really spurred into action for this after feeling honestly so much heartbreak and frustration for families that I was serving who were, you know, receiving insurance denials just left and right. Sometimes it felt like it was on the whims of the company, just kind of deciding that they wanted their goals written just the teeniest bit different, or that the standard score beat their cutoff by, you know, like 1 point. And sometimes it just even felt like the reasons were kind of nonsensical, and it was really at the families were at the mercy of the insurance companies. And while it causes headaches for providers, it's a really big blow to the families who are sometimes just watching valuable time in their child's development go by without getting support and intervention that was needed. So in addition to feeling like there had to be a better way to solve that problem for families, we kept planning, and we also felt like there's really like a wider market for individuals who might be seeking speech and language therapy for cases that would be just flat out not covered by insurance from the start. So you know, adult fluency, accent modification, or just public speaking skills, professional speaking skills for adults. So we're really leveraging the cost savings that we're able to have in using telepractice and passing those savings along to clients while still going direct to consumer and kind of skipping through the insurance headache. And we really hope and believe that our mission resonates with both clients and therapists.
Yeah, and I definitely think it will. I think, like you said, you're filling a gap that was desperately needed. So I appreciate that. So where is Expressible currently available to families? Like what states, what other locations?
Yeah, so currently Expressible operates in Texas. We're really looking to expand in the near future. And we really want to encourage anyone who's interested and listening, who's interested in telepractice, to help support ASHA's efforts to pass the ASLPIC, or the Interstate Compact for Licensure. It's one of those obstacles, licensure is, that feels like a little bit antiquated in, you know, moving the field forward and leveraging telepractice as something that can really breach geographical barriers or link people up with specialists across the whole health industry, but for us in particular. So I would encourage everyone to kind of check that out and keep advocating for that.
Definitely. So it was ASLPIE, was that correct?
ASLPIC, the Interstate Compact.
Okay.
Yeah. ASHA's got a lot of good information about it, and they have kind of a map that you can watch to see what states are doing what.
Okay. So you're basically taking SLPs who work in Texas and matching them with families who reside in Texas. You haven't been able to move outside that yet.
No, but we're kind of, you know, the same need obviously applies everywhere, not just in Texas. And so it was sort of a matter of the fact that we, you know, my licensure started in Texas. And so then we just have been growing from there.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So how does online therapy encourage parent involvement?
So I really feel like online therapy can be so revolutionary for families and even sometimes for therapists who are getting started in telepractice. So just depending on your viewpoint, the nature of online therapy currently being delivered in schools, which is where, you know, I think the predominant delivery is happening for telepractice, a lot of companies contracting with schools. So the way that that works is that there's, you know, typically a facilitator nearby, whether it's an SLP assistant or a special education teacher, or maybe just a member of the school staff. When the therapy is conducted at home directly with a family, our facilitator, you know, becomes the family. And so we can segue all of the fantastic research that we have out there about parent coaching models and move it here. So families, you know, what I find is families are often really excited to be included and they want to learn about how to support their kids' development. So it really quickly moves past just being the point of a necessity of having a facilitator nearby to work with the kid. And it really becomes a bonus for progress. And I think a lot of us know that, you know, from research, that parent coaching and learning in a natural environment are highly efficacious, especially for younger populations. But sometimes we might be in either the family's house or a clinic with the parent in the room. And sometimes we might just have them kind of observing what we're doing while we go through the strategies and cue hierarchy and all of that. But I think that some of us might be surprised to learn that even after observing us use all those cues and strategies with their kids for weeks and weeks or months even of therapy, some parents still have trouble applying that all themselves once we leave if we haven't kind of facilitated it with them in the session and supported them that way. So we really have to support them as they try their hand at it and offer, you know, that non-contingent help giving along the way and support them so that they can feel confident using these skills on a daily basis rather than just having watched us use them.
Absolutely. So how does that relate to early intervention? I know we talked about this a little bit before we started, that you do provide early intervention through teletherapy. So what does that look like?
So what that looks like is exactly like the coaching model. And so it's really important, I think, to set expectations up front when we're joining any telepractice session, but maybe particularly if we're talking about early intervention, where we really want to lay out for the families that, you know, this is how it's kind of going to work. We don't expect your two-year-old to sit in front of the computer and talk with me. What we really will be doing is that you will, you know, be sitting with them. Maybe we'll have the tablet or the computer a short distance away so that the therapist has a good view of everything and so that you can still hear one another. But the predominant interaction is going to be between you and the kiddo. And so they're in their natural environment. They're using the toys that they already have in their house, or, you know, maybe the kiddo's on the move and they have the tablet out. Maybe they're over in the kitchen. And so we get opportunities to practice about all the different snacks that the family usually keeps in the house. So really working off of that natural environment that young kids learn best in, just because they're exposed to those things more consistently. And then they're also learning with the person who they're the most receptive to, which is, you know, the people who are important to them, like their parents or their siblings. And so setting up expectations up front that it's going to be this parent coaching model, and kind of talking through what that looks like. I think the non-contingent help giving part for me is always really important, kind of having parents go through some situations. And then even if something goes kind of badly in a moment, having that little light bulb moment for the parent where they say, well, what am I supposed to do if they do that? Where they are reaching out to us for help and then we're able to jump right in on the problem. I think there's been a lot of research to show that that also has the biggest impact on growing the parents' understanding of what these strategies look like and the impact that they have. So it can be really, it's almost like I kind of said, it's almost extra facilitated this way with early intervention, because there is no opportunity for therapists to kind of like jump in and kind of take over the session and really just be the only one interacting with the kiddo, which, you know, is good sometimes. And I think that everyone who's doing that, we like to do the modeling as much as we can. And so we might lose the tiniest bit of that opportunity for direct modeling with the kiddo. That might just mean that we have to make sure that we're really helping the parent understand what the strategy should look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like, yes, you can't do the direct modeling, but you could do some form of it. Maybe you have the same toy on your end and you could just show them, okay, this is like what I would say or do. Now you try it. It must be so empowering for parents to do it that way.
It is. It often is. And I get really excited when they get really excited, honestly, when they like execute on a strategy and it comes out the other side successful, it's super empowering for them.
Are you looking for more high-quality therapy materials? Published materials can be pricey and take a while to arrive. Digital resources, on the other hand, can be downloaded immediately, but sometimes the quality isn't as good as you expected. I don't know about you, but I think it's so frustrating when you spend money on your materials and they're not helpful in the end. That is why Therapy Materials Vault creates low-prep and no-prep digital resources for you to download immediately. Thankfully, their resources are created by the same multidisciplinary team of therapists, so you can expect the same quality from every one of their resources. The best part is that each resource can be adapted to target multiple goals, and they're very affordable, with the average price being $2 to $7. Therapy Materials Vault is like the perfect combination of published and digital materials. You get the convenience of an immediate download and the streamlined and engaging content that you would expect from published materials. Visit therapymaterialsvault.com to check out their freebies and a library of English and Spanish materials. And guess what? The team at TMV also wanted to offer you a 20% discount off all activity downloads just for listening to this podcast. Use the code SpeechySideUp at checkout to get your discount and stock up on some fun and engaging materials today.
So I'm sure this gets brought up. I know I've seen it. What does the research say about teletherapy versus traditional therapy?
So telepractice, it's been an approved delivery model by ASHA since 2005. And I think in the past decade, things have really ramped up. So what we see since then and even more is the trend is that teletherapy is being found to be just as effective for most populations and diagnoses like stuttering, voice disorders, language disorders, articulation, accent modification, a big slew of them. And then, of course, there's some populations where the research is still evolving more, like dysphagia and autism. Those things come with a little bit of complications of, tactile cues being more necessary, having a really clear visual in person for some of that dysphagia work. The research is still kind of coming out on those. And I think the field is still trying to figure out how best to leverage telepractice for those situations. I think that my idea for situations like dysphagia is for the future, if I had to create my ideal plan, is that we would have this really good connection between the therapists who are doing the swallow studies at the hospital and then being able to share the reports and the findings with the clinician doing the telepractice. And with all that good shared information, if that person who needs the dysphagia therapy is located, 2 hours away from the nearest speech therapist, we can still accomplish so much with them using the telepractice. But, as licensed and certified speech therapists, we should always be making ethical decisions about whether services are appropriate or effective for, every single individual client. And, we should always be making recommendations that are in their best interest. And so that's really the primary reason we do free consultations at Expressible up front to kind of discuss whether or not it feels like the right fit before even moving into an evaluation. And overall, many studies have shown that the client satisfaction with teletherapy is just as high or higher than in traditional therapy, often due to the added convenience and the fact that, all of a sudden they don't have to drive an hour each way to see their therapist, because that can really be a barrier of access for a number of people. So I think the main point to push at this stage is really how much telepractice in general across, again, the entire health industry outside of just speech can improve access and quality of care for people and populations who are otherwise kind of at a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And it's so interesting to know that it's been around like since 2005, 15 years. So it's an established service delivery method. It's just now it's more necessary across the country, at least,
Right.
So was there anything else you wanted to add before we got into the getting to know you questions?
I think I just want to add, at this current juncture, there's a lot of kind of switching and swapping and scrambling going on. And I just want to give a big kudos to all of us for really sticking with it and staying creative and being willing to keep learning and growing and approaching a tough situation with, the confidence in ourselves to say, hey, we got this, we can figure out this new situation. We of the Expressible have been, trying it out, but to everyone who's kind of jumping in and trying to figure out how to continue serving their families and students, really just big kudos.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So do you have any good stories or therapy fails that you want to share?
So therapy fails in telepractice, you can probably guess they're usually related to some kind of technical glitch or maybe a toddler just straight up hanging up the video conference or closing the laptop on you. Everyone takes it in stride. Usually technical glitches happen just in the first session while everyone's kind of figuring it out. And then once you have it, you're good from there. Babies taking phones is another story. I usually recommend tablets or laptops for the younger populations, just since those tiny hands really want to grab those tiny phones. Probably the worst session I've ever had, the biggest fail maybe wasn't one in telepractice, but when I worked in a clinic, I had a little girl who would routinely try to get out of therapy by making herself throw up. And it was really tough, but it was also clearly behavioral to me because as soon as the session ended, she was super happy-go-lucky, giggling, no stress in her world. So we really had to stick it out. And eventually I was able to show her that we could have a really fun and awesome time together when we didn't have to, you know, clean up vomit together. So we made it through, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't glad that teletherapy helps me avoid, you know, snot and vomit and some of those, you know, more slightly unpleasant aspects of, you know, working with pediatrics.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's something that you don't really think about, but that's a good point.
Yeah.
So what are three things that you can't work without?
So I really can't work without a dry erase board on hand, whether or not I use it in every single session. I have it nearby just in case. I do a lot of drawing up, maybe not the most perfect models, but just working to give different visuals, see what visual works, or if it's writing out different words, writing out, you know, breaking apart syllables or something like that. Super quick and easy to do it with a dry erase board when you're working on telepractice, just like some people might use the same in person. I have to have my water bottle. Gotta stay hydrated. And I want to say my dog Kylo, and I know that I can work without my dog, but he's really just the best bonus of working from home. And a lot of my little clients really love to take quick breaks to see him on the screen, even if he's sleeping most of the time.
That's so cute. I didn't even think about that. There's a really funny post going around. I think it's Hallie from Speech Time Fun. She put, share what your children did today, but call them your coworkers. And people are doing it for their kids, but also their pets. And it's just hilarious. Yeah. So my husband and I were joking about it. We're like, my coworkers growled at each other today. Like,
yeah.
That's a great, great way to get people laughing, especially during this time.
Yeah, for sure.
And all right. So what do you enjoy doing outside of work?
So we live in Austin, Texas. So I have to say we love getting outside whenever we have the chance. Nick and I play a lot of tennis together, you know, during the week and on the weekends. We do indoor rock climbing and some outdoor rock climbing. The outdoor rock climbing makes me personally a little bit more nervous, but I still try it. And just a lot of hiking with Kai and swimming in the hot summer months. There's lots of good little watering holes all around Austin, and that's kind of the only way to keep cool. But when I'm feeling lazy, I'm a bit of a TV fanatic, and if I have spare time, you might catch me baking, but not as often as I'd like, maybe.
Awesome. And then what is one piece of advice you would tell your younger self?
I think about this a lot, actually. I would tell my younger self to just be confident and always self-evaluate. And I think in the past, I've struggled with the first part more than the second. So I went straight from undergrad to grad school, like I said. And so when I entered the field, I was still pretty young, like a lot of us are. And, you know, I didn't have my own kids yet, and I still don't. And so it was really easy to second guess everything I did, especially with families and adults who were older than me at the time. But I would just tell my younger self that, you know, you trained for this, you went to school to become an expert in this, and you spent hours studying, you went through all your clinical practicum and in a rigorous program, and you got the degree. So just self-evaluate as you go along, self-evaluate every day, you know, self-evaluate a little bit every session, but don't be so critical that it's brutal. And just view every new challenge that, and you know, inevitably arises. Every day brings a new challenge for us as we're kind of really feeling right now, but just keep that mindset that you just haven't done it yet, but that doesn't mean you can't. Just, you haven't done it yet.
I love that. Awesome. Well, where can everybody find and connect with you?
So everyone can check us out at www.expressible.io, on Facebook or Instagram. And any questions, we're happy to take at info@expressible.io. And Expressible spelled with an A, so expressable.io.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Leanne. And thanks for starting Expressible. I think it's going to help so many people. And I look forward to seeing, you know, following along on your journey. And until next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today, Vanita.
Before we go, I wanted to see if you like listening to these episodes every week. Do you want to keep hearing from these awesome guests? And do you love that you can learn the helpful resources and tips for free? My editor, aka my sister, and I spend a lot of time every week putting these episodes together so that they can be ready for you on Wednesday mornings. We would love it so much if you would take a screenshot of this episode and share it on social media or leave a positive review. And guess what? Every month, I will choose one reviewer to win a little thank you gift. You can choose from a product in my TPT store, an AAC coaching call, or gift card. It's the least I can do to show how much I appreciate your support. It's because of you that this podcast keeps going.